the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Wow, thank you, Jesus. Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Living Savior Church today. He's alive and he is well and he is here. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus is alive and well.
Amen.
Praise ye the Lord. Praise our welcome. Good to have each one of you here today. We got some visitors here from all over today. We're so glad that you came. I know some of you said you'd seen us on the YouTube and the internet and Sid Roth and all kinds of things. And so I want you to know that if you haven't already figured it out, I preach a hard gospel. It's really a hard gospel, but it's a gospel. Amen. It's the good news of Jesus Christ, and I try my best to teach you exactly what God says in His Word. Amen. And leave nothing out. So anyway, and because we do this, we are able to pray for people on the internet, like Dave said a while ago. Almost every night, very few nights we ever miss, I mean 7 days a week, Cheryl and I is in her office or in the bed or somewhere praying for people, you know, praying for their children. And we have no lack of people to pray for. And so there's always a need. There's, I mean, if the body of Christ would only do what the King says, pray for everyone, we wouldn't have near the problems that we have. But we don't pray. We act like there's nothing we can do whenever somebody walks in and they say, well, I don't feel good, and I think I'm going to be checked, and so I'm going to run down to the doctor, and doctor checks you out and says, well, you know, you got some kind of terrible disease here that you only got about 3 weeks to live. Well, most people just fall apart instead of saying, okay, I'm not ready to die yet. Let's find out what this sin is that brought this on me. Let me repent, and let's kick out this devil, and let's go on. Yeah. And when you do things in faith, it works. And so Cheryl and I have learned that. And so we have learned that we can forgive sin because it's written in God's Word that you can do it. So the secret to all these testimonies that we have, that she's fixing to read you two or three of these, is learning how to forgive sin and then stand on God's promises. And His promises are always yes and amen. So I want you to hear a couple of two or three testimonies that she has here.
Okay, this is not a testimony yet, but when I woke up this morning, the first thing was a request from a father who is not a believer, but yet he writes us, and he says, please, please help save my son. Now, he's not a believer. His wife's been writing us to have him saved, as well as her son. And he said, so he sends the text of what his son is doing, which he's into drugs. He was shooting up heroin and cocaine, which, of course, is not good and it can kill you. And so he says, please help. Please save my son. This is from an unbelieving person. And then the son is not either. He's not a believer either. So he casts the devil out of him, and we prayed for both of the deliverance as well as the salvation for both of them. But at least God has moved now on this father. He's crying out to God, please save my son. So we're believing
in
it.
And we know the one that can do it.
Amen.
We know the one that can save
Amen.
That boy. He can forgive him and everything. Praise
All right.
God.
This is from Tamara in Mulberry, Arkansas, and it was actually on an order form. She wrote, looking for... are hoping to get God's power in DVD form for our Bible study. And we're going to believe that God's going to let that show up because it's out there. God has healed my colon. Praise the Lord. They don't have to take any more of my colon. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God.
Amen.
And that's
Amen.
The great news. You don't have to have any more of your colon taken out. And this is from someone here at our church. The doctor thought that, and I took his recommendation to have surgery on my nose. No, the doctor thought I took his recommendation to have surgery on my nose. I said, no, God did it. It's even getting better. There's a young lady that comes here. I don't think she's here today. I don't see her. But she was wearing a Band-Aid on her nose, and it looked like cancer. It was on the tip of her nose. And it's been there for months, hasn't it? It's been there a long time. She said, then my friend came by 2 weeks ago and then yesterday, and only then did she see I had no Band-Aid on my nose. All the glory goes to God. I lied to the doctor about taking all the meds. I repented. Yeah, she says she repented and asked Jesus for forgiveness immediately, though. But I won't pray for agreement. And we did. We prayed with her yesterday. But she doesn't have the Band-Aid on her nose, and the mark is gone. She does not have cancer on her nose. Okay, I told y'all last week, and I'll just rephrase it. We first had the mother that wrote us about her son, Thomas. And Thomas had suicidal, homicidal thoughts, and he tried to kill himself hitting an 18-wheeler, and all he ended up with a bump on the head, but he did go put himself in a mental institution. Well, then we first got the call, the email from the mother, and then behind it, we got an email from the grandmother. But we'd already prayed when we got the one from the mother, and last week I read to you about that change was already being seen by the grandmother, not only for the grandson who called and repented for things he had done in their home, but also they saw a big change in the mother. Okay, so this is where we are now. The mother's back. And so we said, we've prayed, and he is delivered, and a new man, according to Joel 2:32. All you have to do is believe, and it is done. That's what we wrote her. Praise the Lord. She said, I wanted to take a minute and email you back, because he was doing drugs. He was, like I say, he'd been in and out of a mental institution two or three times. They said he was, they put all kinds of names on him. Bipolar, I forget what else it was. I don't think he was schizophrenic, but he was other things. Anyway, but the main thing, he had the suicidal and homicidal thoughts. That was the big thing. Okay, so she says, now this is the mother, so listen to what's happening to her. I want to take a minute to email back and thank the Lord as well as you and the church. My son did need to call to the church, and he spoke with Baron and prayed with him. However, he is healed, and I do believe and have faith with all my heart and soul. I just need to work daily and even hourly on myself. I've been listening to your teachings online and on CD now as well, and I'm working on my life to walk with the Lord on a daily basis. To and from work every day, I listen to your teachings. That's about 50 minutes each way. I listen at home after church on Sunday as well. I have such a desire to learn and improve my life so much. I found that I do stumble a lot. However, I have gotten rid of all liquor out of my life. That's big. I have stopped taking medications for the most part and would love to never take one again. I am praying much, much, much more. I hope I emphasize that well. I'm demanding Satan to leave my house and family, leaning on the Word of God, reading and studying the Word daily, thinking about Jesus as my Lord and Savior, praising the Lord in private and public, and speaking to what Jesus has done for me. I'm trying to jump in head first. As my whole life, I've known what I want to do and some of what I should do, however, just have not made the leap. And in listening to your teachings and reading my Bible, more I am learning and trying to move that direction fast. I do need more prayer for my family, as my husband, middle son, are not as excited as my eldest son, Thomas, the one that's been healed. The daughter and I, however, I know with prayers they will join us as well. And I also want to come to Texas this summer. She's actually coming here in June to attend the healing school and church at some point. And she asked about online website things. And okay, either way, it doesn't matter. I will be in Texas at some point to your healing school if you're not up this way to Kansas. I just know so many others that I've spoken with that want healing as well and want to hear you and learn from you. And I've guided them to their Bible as well as to your website to begin here area where we can listen to you. And I've also borrowed my father's CDs and DVDs of your teachings, and I listened to those. And so she wanted prayer for herself and her daughter. They were both conflicted with migraine headaches, which we did. And then, she began yesterday, truly believe Jesus can heal me, so I prayed and asked Jesus to relieve me of my pain. I heard on your recordings I must continue to do something in my life that's needing, I just must be continuing to do something in my life that is needing forgiveness, as I still suffered into the night, grew weak, and took some medicine. The thing is, migraines are not loving yourself, and so we actually wrote her about that. And I want the strength you speak of, and I'm working on it through prayer, studying, listening, continuing practice. If you have more guidance, I'd love to hear it. Continue to listen, learn, study, grow, strengthen, improve. I know I will through our Lord Jesus Christ. And so she also asked the son needed prayer for sleep. He continued to struggle with sleep, which we prayed for him also. Again, praise the Lord and thank you, Pastor Thurman, for all your guidance and support that you provide to God's people and what the people of your church are doing as well. If there are things that I can do as a person of faith, I want to know those, and I pray about those, and I do believe that I'm being led to them. Thank you so much, Rachel, in Emporia, Kansas.
Amen, 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 amen. Praise the Lord. That's all I can say is praise the Lord. You know, it's amazing that I think that yesterday at the healing school, I'd done something I guess I've never done, but I happened to realize that I need to teach people what it means to pray for the sick. I've never done that. You know, I mean, you people say, well, pray for the sick. How do I do that? So, let's take a scripture. Let's just think about what, first of all, I'd like to read Matthew chapter 10, verse 1. I'd like for Cheryl to read Matthew 10, 1 and 2 or 3, whatever. We'll read a little here. I want you to see what the Lord told us to do here. Read that, honey.
And Jesus summoned to him his 12 disciples and gave them power.
Wait a minute. He gave who?
12 disciples.
He gave the disciples power. What did he give them power to do? What does it say?
And Jesus summoned to him his 12 disciples and gave them power and authority over unclean spirits.
Okay, now think about this one more time. You, as a son or a daughter of God, have been given by the King himself power and authority over unclean spirits.
Amen.
I mean, is that what it says? Okay, no problem. We'll answer that. We know the answer to that. So never keep reading. Read on a little more.
And Jesus summoned to him his 12 disciples and gave them power and authority over unclean spirits to drive them out and to cure all kinds of disease and all kinds of weakness and infirmity.
Okay, so what did he tell his boys to do? When you get saved, when you become a child of God, back in those days, what were those boys supposed to do? Go sit down and have church on Sunday? Or what are they're supposed to be out here doing something, right? They're supposed to be, you know, supposed to be kicking out devils. And I mean, just think, can you imagine an old boy like Barron here that, say, I run up on him one day and say he's having a kicking fit. And I alone know he's got a demon in him. So although he is twice my size physically, if I walk up to him and say, you devil of hell, I command you to come out of this young man and go to the pit and don't bother him no more. What's that demon got to do?
He got to obey.
Don't matter how big you are, does it, Baron?
No, sir.
I'm bigger than you are in Jesus, right?
In the spiritual world, you are.
In the spiritual world, I am way bigger. Amen. Because I've studied this book and I know who I am. But you can do the same thing. This power. He's getting, and of course, what this young lady up here on the front row said, I was confronted with that one day. I said, you know, look what Jesus told us to do. Then read verse, I think, 7 or 8 or 9. What does that say?
And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand.
Read on.
Cure the sick.
Wait a minute. Do what?
Cure the sick.
Okay, cure the sick, okay.
Raise the dead. Cleanse the lepers. Drive out demons. Freely, without pay, you have received. Freely, without charge, give.
Isn't that something? That's good. I love that translation. That's good. So that's we look at that, and this is what we do. We read this, and somebody that's really smart will come back and say, but, you know, look at what that says. He said he gave his disciples this power. Well, that was them, and that's not for us today.
Oh, that's not true.
I mean, but you know, that's what they argue, and they do that. Well, let's just go from here to Matthew 28, and let's start with, say, I think it's about 24 or 25, somewhere along there, or 17 or 18, I forget exactly where that's at. But in Matthew 28, let's go over to Matthew 28.
Yeah.
So Jesus is out here now. He's fixing to tell us something. He's got his boys here. He's got all of his apostles, disciples.
Start with 16.
Okay, verse 16. Let's see what the master is fixing to tell us now. See what it says about what he's fixing to do.
And then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted.
Yeah, he's just like us. Some of us doubt. There's no two ways about it. You do. Read on a little further.
And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me.
How much?
All power.
So he's reiterating this power that he just delegated to his other boys just a little earlier. Now he's saying, now all that power is given to me. I'm the head of the church. And what does he say?
And Jesus came and spake unto them, and saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth.
Where does he have power at?
Everywhere.
I mean, he's got power. He's the king over everything. There's nothing that he's not in charge of. Now read on.
Go ye, therefore, and teach all nations.
Wait a minute. Go ye and teach who?
All nations.
Teach all nations to do what?
Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost.
And?
That was it.
20. Okay. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever.
There's the one I was looking for.
I have commanded you.
Teaching who?
Them.
Teaching who?
Them.
Is that, that's us.
That's
us. Yep. So when somebody comes along and says, well, but you know, he's talking to his disciples. You need to be armed with this scripture.
Amen.
That Jesus come and he said, all power and all authority is given to me. Is that what he said?
Yes.
Now he's telling you, I'm commanding you to go out and do what I commanded the other boys back in Matthew 10 to do. I commanded them to go out and do what? Heal the sick. Cleanse the lepers, raise the dead. Boy, you talk about testing us. When it comes down, when you first start out with this stuff, you come in and say, oh, wouldn't it be nice? I've had back troubles all my life. And, you know, it's this scripture. If this book really meant what it said, and it says just two of us can agree, wow, Mike, I got back troubles all of my life here, and I'm in terrible pain. But I got a wife here, and that makes two of us. And Lord, that scripture says in Matthew 18:19, if just two of us could agree about anything, just anything, it's ours. The King that has all power and all authority has given us this authority. So that means if I'm your wife, sitting right there, look up at you with a pain in your back and say, honey, you know, it says that if two of us agree, we could get rid of that back pain forever. Why don't we agree? It says, and he said, all power and authority is given to him, and he's given it to us. So why don't you just pray for me? And she prays for you, and what happened?
You healed in a heartbeat.
I healed in a heartbeat. Why? How do we do that? How do we pray? What do we do? Let's go to this scripture. Now, we're seeing the power and authority that's been given to us. And we've not been using this enough. Jesus told us to be his sons and to walk in love. I command you. And he didn't say that really, really softly. He said, I'm giving you a new commandment in John 13. I am commanding you to walk in love. I know how stiff-necked and brutal you can be. I know. I made you. I know what's going on in your body, but I am commanding you to walk in love. By this, everybody shall know that you are my disciples by your love one for another.
Amen.
You see what I mean?
Thank you, Jesus.
When you walk in love, that power and authority works through love. So when Gracie prayed for Mike, they were doing this in love as a husband and a wife, loving each other, taking the scripture. And she merely voiced one little simple scripture, Matthew 18:19. And again, Matthew 18, 19, what does it say? What does that verse say? Cheryl's going to read Matthew 18, 19 one more time. You can't overindulge on the Word of God. You can't overdose on the Word of God.
Again, I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven.
Now this is the King of the universe that says all power and all authority has been given to me. Is that who's talking, Tony?
Right.
The King of Kings. Right. The Lord of Lords and the God of Gods. And he's told us, all this power is given to me now. I am freely giving you this power. Now just take one of those, just one. I want to see the sick healed, Lord. I'm just going to take that one thing, and I'm going to start meditating on that, and I'm going to start praying for the sick. Every time I see somebody that's got a problem, you walk up to a guy and you say, you know, what's wrong with you? You got your, oh, he said, I got a splitting migraine headache. Or, you know, I'm a weightlifter, and I lifted 900 pounds, and I broke my leg. And the doctors say, I ain't never going to work, never going to do this again, never. I'm over. Somebody says, I'm a Christian, and all power is given to me. So why don't you and me agree in prayer?
Yes, sir.
And you did.
Yes, sir.
And what happened?
I got healed.
You got healed. And now then the doctor says, you can pick up all the weights. In fact, I went over to the gym the other night when he was practicing, and I watched this young man pick up 615 pounds
wow.
on a leg that used to be broke, that the doctor said he'd never be able to pick up these weights. I saw him pick up 615 pounds, didn't I?
Yes,
I mean, you've learned that your King is who he says he is.
And he means what he
says. Just think. He has all that power. When I read that in the answer to her question a while ago, when I read that in the scripture, I was confronted several times with people. But you know, he called his disciples and he gave them power. And that's exactly what that said, isn't it? He gave them power. Go back to Matthew 18. I mean, to Matthew 10. Go back to Matthew 10. Let's go back to Matthew 10 and let's read just a little bit more of that. Like I say, you can't overdose on a word. What does that say, hon? Matthew 10, 1. Just start off with
Matthew 10, 1.
Mm-hmm.
And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits.
Okay, I'm Jesus. I'm calling all my team in. Y'all come in. We're going to sit here and have a little church meeting, and this is going to be really short and sweet. I want you to know that I am the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and the God of Gods. All power and all authority is mine. I'm God. I have overcome everything. Death, hell, and the grave, I've overcome everything. Now then, the power is given to me, and I'm going to give to each one of you. And as I go around, I'm going to lay hands on you. I'm going to touch you. And every one of you I touch, you're going to be filled and empowered with the Holy Spirit. And you're going to have this power in you. And so then I'm going to send you out, and you're going to cast out demons. You're going to heal the sick. Boy, the church has listened to that prone part. Question that she asked me a while ago, but you know, the people will say he's talking to his disciples, and you're exactly right. That's who he was talking to.
They keep emphasizing 12.
Yeah, sure, yeah, the 12 disciples. But when we go on past that, when we go back to Matthew 27 or Matthew 28, when we go back to Matthew 28,
they do not finish.
Yeah, they don't get the whole.
They
don't
finish reading.
Do what,
Jim? They stop reading. They don't finish reading.
Yeah, well, of course. That's exactly. But the enemy, we got to realize who we're fighting against. And it's not those brothers and sisters in Christ. Their mind and their eyes have been blinded to this truth, just like yours and mine was so many years. I mean, mine, you can't imagine how ecstatic I became one day when I saw that he, what did he say in Matthew 20, Matthew 10, one more time? Read Matthew 10.
And when he called unto him his 12 disciples, He gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease.
Wow, you know, when I read that and I locked onto that, I thought, my goodness, I'm supposed to be able to heal the sick. I mean, this fits me. So, man, I go to my Baptist preacher, you know, and I say, you know, I just found something that's wonderful. Jesus gave me power. And he read, oh, no, Thurman, you read that wrong. You read that wrong. You know, look, he said he called his 12 disciples. That doesn't include you. And I think, oh, gee, I thought I had it. I thought I had this nailed down. I thought I had found the missing link, that I could cast out demons, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, and raise the dead. I thought, oh, Lord. But he just cut me off. And then one day I'm reading Matthew 28. Read that again. Matthew 28. Let's look at that. Matthew 28. I'm reading over way on. I'm now way past chapter 7 or 10 and all this stuff, where I'm supposed to cast out demons, heal the sick, cleanse lepers, and raise the dead. Okay, so that's for the 12. And it did say he called his 12 disciples. So I think, okay, I'm trying to get a little ecstatic here. So
then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted.
Just think. Can you imagine? You walked with him. You ate with him. You slept out on the ground with him. I mean, maybe even right up against his back. You know, you might have laid back to back with him, you know, sleeping on the ground one night, you know, because they didn't have all these fancy hotels we have today. You know, we want the best, you know. We got to have a 5-star hotel, or, you know, we're not going to go, you know. All I can say is, you bunch of wimps. I mean, I'll go anywhere with anybody. I don't care what. You know, I don't care what it is. If I have to sleep on the ground, I sleep on the ground. It doesn't matter. If there's no air conditioning, that's okay. I can handle it. With no air conditioning, I can handle it. For Jesus. I can only imagine that when some of us say, you know, we're suffering for Jesus. Yeah, give me a break. You're suffering at a 5-star hotel. You ain't suffering. You don't know what suffering is. Wow, when I think about what he done, and then when we read that, and then Cheryl, honey, read a little more.
And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted.
Wow.
And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth.
Now then, what does he say?
Go ye therefore.
Oh, wait a minute now. He's talking to the maybe 200 or whatever it is, or even if it's just the 12.
It was 11 at that point.
If he's talking to them, he said, now go and do what?
Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing.
Wait a minute. Teach who?
All nations.
Hey, now that's the one I was looking for. Teach all nations, all people. That's you and me, girl. This ain't the 12 apostles no more. This is you and me. He's talking to them boys, telling them, go, Thurman, go and teach Barron how to do this. Thurman, go and teach Tony how this works. Go and teach Miss Jackie how this thing works. Show her how it works. Well, Lord, what do I do, Lord? I mean, you have no idea the conflict that I come under trying to teach these principles to the church. I mean, it's unbelievable. They don't want to hear it. But here, I loved it because I've been given power by the King, which just told me he had all power and all authority. And he said, freely this power I give to you, so freely give it away. Why do you think we give away our CDs and DVDs? Nearly every time I tell somebody, you know, we give away about 10,000 a week. A week. Sometimes it goes up to 15,000 a week. We send out free and postpaid CDs and DVDs. And just like that lady said, she would love to have the copy of the DVD of God's Power. They filmed that at Big Sandy when I'd done that teaching. And before the next day, they had. I'm glad I got the teaching I did that one day, how to get a lost person saved. We got it both in video and audio. But God's Power, I only was able to get it in CD. I don't know how the Lord's going to get that to me. But a church that had, or a teaching place that had at least 3,000 people there that afternoon. I was standing on a platform with at least 3,000 people teaching God's power. And the next morning, after I taught it that afternoon, by the next morning, that CD and DVD had been pulled, and the people at the Gothard Ministries said, "We will never allow something like this to go out. Never. Our people, we don't want our people hearing this kind of junk." That's a church, folks. And if any of you have not listened to God's power, in fact, one day I come back and Ty Davenport, which is a good friend of mine, he's a doctor. He said, "How did it go down to Big Sandy?" I said, "Well, I got thrown out." He said, "What did you do?" I said, "Brother Bill Gothard, the head man, he asked me to tell about the stories and the scriptures I use and how I did this." And so I said, he told me to do it within an hour and a half. And so I said, I did it into exactly an hour and a half. And that's I made a teaching called God's Power. And I said, they didn't like it, so they threw me out. So Ty said, "My gosh, I'm going to get a copy of that, and I'm going to take that home with me. I'm going to see that this week. I'm going to see, listen to what you did. It got you made them so upset." Next Saturday, next Sunday, he come to church. He said, "My gosh, that's one of the best CDs you ever made." And he said, he said "They throwed you out for making that." And I said, "That's what they did." Of course, Bill Gothard, he's a good man. Bill is a good man. Bill told me when they threw me out, his board, when they threw me out, he told me, he said, "Thurman, I have learned more." He said, "I've been in ministry 50 years. I have learned more about faith with you in the last 3 months than I have my entire life." That's what he told me. He's a good man. I mean, it just so happens he's got a rotten board. You know, if you don't like God's power, there's something wrong with you. Have you listened to that young lady?
Oh, yeah. I've given it out to my boss. I gave it to my boss.
You listen to it too, sir? So you don't hear anything really wrong with it, do you?
No.
Oh. And that's all true stories.
Yeah.
In fact, those people that are on there, I mean, in fact, one of the young men that went down there to Big Sandy with me, of course, I was just teaching. I was technically under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, so I wasn't paying any attention to what God was doing. I'm just having fun teaching His Word. And he told me after we got off the platform, and I prayed for people. In fact, it's amazing that I spoke for an hour and a half that morning, starting at 9 till 10:30. And then they put me on the other side of the building with a prayer line. And I prayed for people for about 6 or 7 hours without a break. Just went right. And the other day, I had a grandmother call me. And she said, "Thurman, I want to tell you something. I was just listening to God's power." And she said, "I was thinking about one of the testimonies that you had on there when you said that there was a little girl on there with her granddad, and she was standing there or sitting there with her granddad," which was this lady's husband that had called me. "And she said, you told the story about Philip Anthony Wren's warts and how God took all the warts off of Philip's body over a 3-week period. And she said, my granddaughter looked up at her granddad and said, granddaddy, Jesus doesn't love Philip any more than he loves me. And if he took those warts all off of Philip, he will take these 16 warts off the back of my hand too. Lord, thank you, little girl about this big. Lord, thank you for taking the warts off my hand." She said, "My husband looked down and 16 warts fell off of her hand onto the floor." Yeah. And she said, I heard you teach that on something, on one of your teachings, so I just wanted to call you and tell you I'm the grandmother of the little girl, and said those warts have never come back after all these years. Do we serve a God that wants to do things for us? Why are we not seeing more of these kind of things? Because we don't realize, you know, anytime the enemy, if you don't know that your boss has been given all power, and Mike, mine and your boss has been given all power and all authority. Has he not, son?
Amen.
So if he's been given all power and all authority, he has it all, right? Then if he tells me and you to go out, and he tells the other disciples that were back there, you go out and teach Mike and Thurman and Gracie how to do this. You go out. And so we go out there, and he uses us for his glory. We need to start doing something for Jesus. Now, I will have to say that when I learned that that power was given to my boss and that I really am a son of God, and the beautiful part about me, I was so fortunate. I was raised up in a great home with a great mom and dad that would have given their life for me. That's how much they loved me. I knew that. They didn't go around telling me they loved me that much. I knew by the way they did things, how they loved each other, that they loved me. Now then, if you have an earthly daddy that loves you like that on this earth, it's a whole lot easier to believe that your Father in heaven will do the same thing for you here. Now, if you had a rotten daddy, which so many people have, it's very difficult for you to trust God because you couldn't trust your daddy. I mean, if your daddy was not a good man, y'all know where I'm coming from? I mean, your daddy never done anything he told you he'd do. Now then you read this in the scripture and it says that God, your heavenly Father, says he'll do these kind of things. And these things are out of your wildest dream, and your earthly daddy wouldn't do that. So what makes you think your heavenly Father is going to do what he said? Wow. And that's why we have so few people that can do what Jesus commanded us to do. But when you get past that point and begin to realize that he is your God, that he does love you, and you cannot accept, I mean, there's nothing on this earth you can do that'll cause God the Father to love you any more than he loves you. He loves you with a love that's out of this world. I mean, there's no way it can be any greater. I mean, it just can't happen. But you say, okay, he loves me. When you get past that point, then you say, okay, now I'm going to believe that he will answer my prayer. And I'm going to start praying for people. And so you happen to run upon this wonderful scripture in Matthew 28 that Cheryl read a while ago, that all this power is given to him. Read that last part there again. All this power is given to him. One more time, Matthew 28.
And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth.
How much?
All.
Okay.
All power.
Okay.
Next. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost.
Okay, so
there's one more.
Okay, yeah, and that next one we really, really, really important. What does that next line say?
Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always.
So if
even
we go
unto the end of the world. Amen.
If somebody comes to me and says, would you pray that Jesus will be with me this week?
He's already there.
I mean, why waste your breath?
That's right.
All you need to know is that, hey, I don't need you. I don't need a prayer like that. He promised to never forsake me, never leave me. You can't run him off.
No, not at all.
God is always with me. He's always there. And he promised me that this power and authority is mine. And he told me to teach it to you. Yep. Is that what he said?
Sure did.
And when I learn how it works, I'm supposed to teach you. And that's what I'm doing the best I can to teach you how it works. Now then, let's go back and look at one or two of these things. And let's go back and with this last one we used. What were those scriptures we used, Matthew? What that works so good, Gracie? Matthew 18:19. So there must be something special about Matthew 18:19. So if you got your husband healed just by you know, touching him and maybe voicing a word or two, and he was instantly healed in a heartbeat, like he said. Don't you think those verses would be nice to have? Man, I mean, so they might work somewhere else. You might be able to do something besides just get somebody healed. But if this is what you're struggling with and working with at first, I'm learning how to heal the sick. I'm learning these things are working, and I have messed up my arm, Tony. And I've been to the doctor, and the doctor said, I got a broken mess here in my shoulder, and I need to do surgery on you now. And so if you really know who your daddy is, and you know he'll answer your prayer, you say, okay, doc, I thank you for telling me. Now you go, and you and your lovely wife pray and ask the Lord to fix it. And what did he do?
He fixed it.
No surgery. Now, a few years ago, you didn't know that.
That's right.
When you was out there flying them jet airplanes around in the Atlantic or Pacific or wherever you were, you was all world back in those days.
Right.
You were having fun flying them jet airplanes, but you didn't have a clue who was with you.
That's exactly right.
But you do now.
That's right.
And so when Tony and Mary, a husband and wife team, when they prayed, even though they had a broken shoulder, that's a piece of cake. And he didn't even charge you to fix it, did he, Tony?
That's the best part.
We need to know how this works, don't we? Let's look at this scripture. Let's go back over here to this Matthew, Mark 11, 23 and 24. Let's go to Mark 11, 23 and 24. I want Cheryl to read those two verses, Mark 11, 23 and 24.
But verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith.
Wow. You know, that's, I don't know about you, but that just got to be too good to be true.
That's a good one.
Wouldn't it be nice if these things really worked?
That's right. It sure would.
Because that's what we say, isn't it? Wouldn't it be nice if that wasn't just to the 12 disciples, if it was for us only, until you find out there is a place in there where it says it is for you. And now that means you can stand on it, right, brother?
That's correct.
I've had that verse memorized for years and that didn't sink in.
Praise the Lord. God is so awesome. But look at this scripture. Cheryl, read that Mark 11. 23.
For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith.
Now, but you notice now this, it's not just saying this. You got to believe it. I mean, you got to really believe it. And that's why it don't work for us. You know, so we think, okay, that is a pretty powerful verse. And do you know most people that, I don't even know how many years I was in the Baptist church teaching a Sunday school class. We used a quarterly information that somebody in Nashville or whatever wrote every quarter. And in all the years I was a Baptist Sunday school teacher, I never, ever, ever had anybody teach me Mark 11, 23 and 24. It wasn't in there. It's in the Bible, but it ain't in there. Why? They don't believe it works. Let me tell you, does it work?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. It works if you make it work. You got to believe. Did the Lord say there, if you doubt?
No.
In other words, just think. When these two powerful verses that we're looking at here, Mark 11, 23 and 24, read verse 24, honey, one more time. 24.
Therefore, I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them.
Okay. When my granddaughter was killed in the car wreck 15 years ago, it severed her brainstem, cut her eyes loose from her brain. And some of you have heard this story, some of you hadn't, but if you haven't, you need to listen to it because it's a faith builder. But anyway, with her brainstem severed, the finest doctors in Cook's Medical Center told me, When we unplug her and take the life support off her, she will decease. She cannot live. I said, no, she's going to live. I have the Word of God, and I'm going to stand on the promises of God. And so we did. We stood on the promises, and we come down to the day that they were going to unplug her. And I took, first of all, Mark 11:23, and the doctor said, in fact, Miss Davis, she's a beautiful, wonderful Christian lady doctor. And she was dealing with Caitlin. And she said, sir, you are the only man I have ever met in my life that absolutely refuses to accept reality. She said, you know, with her brain stem severed, and there's nobody in the, nobody can, no doctor, nobody can put that brain stem back together. When we unplug her, you know she's going to die. I said, folks, I serve the living God. His name is Jesus Christ. Well, we're Christians too. I said, yeah, but there's a difference. I really believe. I believe that he will do what he said, and you don't. So they looked at me and says, well, we feel sorry for you, sir, but we're going to unplug her. I said, okay. And I said, you're going to see the glory of God. I guarantee, Mark 11:23, I guarantee when you unplug her, she's not only going to breathe, she's going to breathe over the machine on her own without that pump. I mean, this man's lost his mind. I mean, I have literally lost my mind for these people. So they had the whole team there, the doctors, the nurses, and they started unplugging stuff. And as they unplugged it and got down to the last one, and there's a thing there that's still plugged into her that's showing what the breathing rate is. All of a sudden, when they unplugged the last thing, the breathing rate went up 2 points. And they're standing there looking and said, this ain't possible. This is not possible. Her brainstem is severed. This can't be, Tony. It's impossible. And after a little while, I said, folks, I had to believe for this miracle before it happened. And now that it's happened, y'all have seen it, and you still don't believe it. I said, let me tell y'all why you don't ever see God do anything for you. Because you don't believe. Now, is the church eat up with unbelief?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, we're eat up with it. I mean, we got an unlimited book here with a king behind it that's standing up here in the heavens telling us all power, all authority is given to me. Now then, I'm teaching you how to make this work, and I'm giving you and anointing you with this power to go out and heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead. Oh, Lord, couldn't you have made it a little simpler raising the dead? So anyway, they unplugged her, and of course she breathed. We finally get ready to take her home. Doctors are dumbfounded. They just don't believe what they saw. So he said, here's a wheelchair. You can take her. I said, I ain't going to put her in no wheelchair. I'm going to carry her in my arms. She was only 4 years old. So I said, I'm not going to put her in no wheelchair. I'm going to carry her. I said, this little girl will never ride in a wheelchair. And she's now 21 years old. She's never ridden in a wheelchair. But anyway, as we were going out, I go home and the doctor says, oh, by the way, we put a plug in her stomach. I said, what for? He said, to feed her. I said, what's going on? He said, there's a flapper valve in the mouth. Now, when you eat something, it flaps over to one way to seal off the food and solids and water from going into the lungs. And Mary, you understand that, I'm sure, coming out of your works. But I didn't understand that. I had no idea what they were talking about. But I said, so you put a little plug with a plug in it and in her stomach where I have to feed her. I have to put food in the stomach directly to the stomach. And they said, yes. I said, how long do I have to do that? And they said, well, if God doesn't fix it, you'll have to do it forever. You'll have to feed her forever through that tube. I said, I got Mark 11:24. What does Mark 11:24 say, honey?
Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and ye shall have them.
Okay, now doesn't that sound simple enough? I mean, that, does that sound like a piece of cake to get her fixed?
Yep.
So I take her home, and I said, okay, no problem. I take her home, and I look, and there's that plug in her stomach. And I said, okay, Lord. They told me to bring her back every 2 months and to have this flapper valve checked. Okay, so I pray. I get home and I read Mark 11:24. Mark 11:24, if I heard Cheryl read that right, whatever I desire, and what do I desire? The flapper valve to work. When I pray, I got to believe. Well, see, I thought I was believing. So anyway, we pray. I said, okay, thank you, Lord, it's done. So I feed her every day, 2 or 3 times a day, right through that little hole in her tummy, pump that little pump, I pump it and put it right in there. And then I wait 2 months, and all the way back to the doctor's office, I'm praising the Lord. Thank you, Lord, I know that this valve works. I know my little granddaughter's healed. It's a done deal because she's walking and all kinds of good stuff. I said, Lord, it's done. Thank you, thank you, thank you. So I take her in there, and the doctor checks her, and he says, I'm sorry, sir, it's not working. I said, what? But the Word said. I come out there saying, Lord, the Word, did the Word say? What did Mark 11:24 say? What did that say? I could what?
Get to believe first and you'll receive them.
Isn't that something? Well, I thought I was standing on it, but it ain't working. There's something wrong, right? Okay, so what would be the best thing to do if a prayer, a God prayer that you prayed didn't work? What would be the first thing, now that with what y'all know, what would be the first thing you should do? Repent. Because is all of God's promises yes and amen? If all of God's promises are yes and amen, then when I prayed this prayer, it should have worked. But it didn't work. So this, Lord, I've got to have done something wrong. And I had. Now, that's the church don't want to hear this. You have a sin in your life, Thurman. But I have repented of all sin. And I'm standing on the promises of God, but Lord, it ain't working. So Lord, I repent. I repent. Oh Lord, I repent. Now then, Lord, I'm going to read that scripture again. I'm going to, whatever I desire when I pray, believe I've received it, and it's mine. So I'm praying again. This is mine in Jesus' name. So I said, okay, now I keep feeding her. 2 more months goes by, and I take her again. We get to the doctor, and he checks the flapper valve, and he says, it ain't working. Wait a minute. God, you said in your word. Did he say, Mary? Whatever I desire, when I pray, believe, and it's done. Is that what he said? So I'm believing, but it ain't working. So where's the problem? Is it a problem with God, or is he asleep today, or what?
No.
You don't think he's asleep, Mike? He don't even take a nap, does he? I'm telling you, I was amazed, and it wouldn't work. So anyway, I brought her home, and I said, okay, God, I don't know what I've done wrong. You're going to have to reveal to me what I've done wrong. Lord, I have missed it somewhere. I know your promises are yes and amen. I've done something wrong. I've got to know what I've done wrong. I'm repenting. Lord, I repent. Whatever I did, Lord, I repent. I'm not ashamed to repent. Are you, Baron? Because we know when it don't work, and we know the problem is never with the master, is it? It's always with me and you. So that's why, Lord, I repent. I did everything, so. And I prayed again. Thank you, Lord, for healing Caitlin's throat. So 2 months come and go, and I take her again. Doctor, same thing. It ain't working. I said, Doc. He said, sir, as many times as you've been in, it ain't never going to work. You need to give up. Did you know most of us buy into that? Most of us abide, but God's promises are always yes and amen.
Absolutely.
If His God promises yes and amen, then it's, if I give up, then I'm the one who lost it, right?
Amen. Absolutely.
So anyway, this time, the fifth time, 10 months later, it didn't work. I come bring her home, and I sat her down, and I said, okay, God, I have got to know. You told me that any man lacks wisdom, let him ask you, and you'll show me what I need to do. I've got to have wisdom. Do you really think God wants my granddaughter healed as bad as I do? He wants her healed worse than I do. But I'm not going to the right source to find out what my problem is. So I finally call and say, Lord, you got to help me. I got to have help. So I started reading that scripture, whatever you desire, when you pray, believe you have received it, and it shall be yours. Thank you, Lord. All of a sudden, after I read that for 2 weeks, 2 weeks I read that scripture, and I quoted that scripture over and over and over. Then all of a sudden, bam, just like hitting me right between the running lights. You're not believing. You're not believing. Did that scripture say I had to believe?
Yes, you have to believe.
Well, how do I believe then? I'm doing everything I know to do. Oh, Lord. The doctor said, don't you dare give her anything to eat until that valve's working or you'll kill her. But the scripture says, when I pray, I got to believe. That means I got to feed her. Oh, my God. You think this won't put you to the test? That doctor just told me if that thing don't work, and he just told me 5 times in a row over 10 months it ain't working, and if I feed her anything, I'm going to kill her. She's going to choke to death right in front of my eyes. And I'm going to believe this book is going to work. I said, Lord, forgive me. I haven't had the faith to do that up to now. But I'm going to believe. I repent. I repent for my sins of unbelief. Now I'm going to believe with no doubt in my heart that you have heard my prayer and that flapper valve is working perfect and my granddaughter can eat anything, anytime. So, Lord, thank you for forgiving me. Now, Lord, I'm going to ask you one more time to fix the flapper valve. It's done. I voiced that prayer. Thank you, Lord, it's done. I run across the street to her house, and I said, Toby, that was her daddy. I said, Toby, I found my problem. I said, I wasn't believing. He said, what do you mean? I said, well, I haven't been believing. The scripture says, when I pray, I got to believe. Not 2 months later when I take her to the doctor. I said, so I've repented, and I prayed again. So now then we need to feed her. He said, Thurman, you're out of your mind. I said, well, maybe I am. But it ain't never going to work until we do it God's way. Did God say this?
Yeah.
Will that put you to the test?
Oh, yeah.
It put me to the test, I guarantee you. So anyway, we prayed. And I said, now then, you got anything for her to eat? Said, I've got some apple juice and some orange juice and some applesauce. I said, okay. Let's feed her. So he went and got, he said, I can't do it. I said, I'll do it. Give it to me. I said, Caitlin, she was in playing with her toys, her little dolls. I said, Caitlin, honey, come in here and sit down here at the table. She come running in there and sat down. And I said, here's a bowl of applesauce. I want you to eat that for granddaddy. She put that spoon in that bowl and put it in her mouth. And she ate that spoon full of sauce, got another one. And for the first time in 10 months, she ate with a normal way of doing things. So we eat the applesauce and we drank the orange juice, and then she goes back and runs to play with her dolls. Six weeks later, we go back to the doctor, and the doctor checks the flapper valve, and he said, I would never have believed this. Never. He said, that valve didn't work for a year almost, but he said, today it's working perfect. He said, you can start feeding her now. I said, Doc, I started feeding her 6 weeks ago. He said, Mr. Scribner, you are the biggest fool I've ever seen in my life. Don't you know you could have killed that little girl? You see, if you do things God's way, you're going to be known as a little crazy a few times. But just think, when you take Mark 16, 17 and 18. I want you to look at this. Here's another one of those commandments that God gave us to do. Cheryl, I want you to read those two scriptures.
And these signs shall follow them that believe.
Now, wait a minute. Right there, you got to stop. These signs, she's fixing to read about, is going to follow the believing believer. Not the unbelieving believer, but the believing believer. You've got to be a believer in Jesus Christ. And so many people don't believe what they tell you. They just don't believe it. But he says these signs will follow those that believe. Are you a believing believer or an unbelieving believer?
Believer.
I'm a believing believer. Now read on, honey.
And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues.
Read on.
They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover.
So if you want to pray for people, the first thing you need to do is you need to make sure that you have remitted their sins and your sins. You want to make sure you confess every sin, your sin, every sin you've had. I don't care what you've done. If it was just 30 minutes ago when you remitted your own sins, do it again. If you're going to pray for somebody, you might have sinned. You might have had a bad thought. You know, so don't let that do that to you. Remit your sins because you have the power within you to forgive sin. John 20:23. So remit your sins and then take the word of God and then stand on these promises. This is where it says, you shall cast out demons. They're in there, but you can't see them. So always after you remit sin, always command the evil spirits to leave whoever you're fixing to pray for. Because if you don't and they got a demon in there, they ain't going to get well. A demon is going to keep them sick. So just cast out that evil spirit. And that beast, he can just be a pain. I mean, it can just be a pain in your body, but that's a devil. So you need to cast out that beast. I mean, somebody says, but you know, my sweet little child, my children, they could no wise have a demon in them. Let me tell you, when them children are born, they belong to the devil. They're not God's children. Everyone, if you don't believe that, you have to train them how to love, don't you? They are little aliens, I guarantee you. You don't have to teach them how to be mean, do you? They know how. You know, if you just let children be their own boss, I mean, you will raise up a bunch, like Barron said, you'll raise up some little aliens. But they know how to be mean to one another, don't they? You have to teach them how to be children of God. But whenever you pray for people, remit their sins first, then cast out an evil spirit. How do you do that? You just look them right in the eye, hold them by the shoulder, and say, in the name of Jesus, I command and demand this spirit of infirmity or this evil spirit to come out of you and go to the abyss and never come back in Jesus' name. Now, your boss, how much power did he have over devils?
All.
And how much did he give you?
All.
So, is this going to be a piece of cake?
Yes.
Yes, it's going to be a piece of cake. We're going to believe the master. And so then after you pray for him, command the spirit to leave, then the last part of that verse said, and you shall do what, honey?
Lay hands on the sick.
Lay hands on the sick and they shall recover.
So if Tony had broke his shoulder and he's repented of his sin, his wife has repented of his sins, and I just touch him, I don't even have to say anything. I just lay hands on his shoulder. Now I can say, be healed if I want to, right, Tony?
Right.
But he didn't say I had to say that. Right. Once you repent of your sin, cast out the spirit, just lay hands on it and say, it's going to work. I guarantee you're going to get well. Because I did, the scripture tells, what does the scripture tell us to do? Lay hands on
the sick.
And they might get well?
No.
They shall.
Oh my goodness. You said that like you believe that.
Amen.
You're my kind of man. Does this word work?
It works.
Praise the Lord. Isn't it amazing? So simple. Okay, yeah, that's kind of squeaky, but I have to do that every once in a while. That wakes me up. What did Jesus tell us to do one more time in Matthew 10? Oh, read. Go back over there and read Matthew 10, 1, one more time. One more time. Jesus.
Matthew.
Matthew 10.
Yeah, what did I say?
You said it, but he put it up wrong.
Oh, okay. Matthew. Matthew 10.
And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease.
So what diseases should we be able to heal?
Everyone.
Everyone. There should be nothing that we can't get healed because he's, in fact, and like you said, when people tell us, well, but he's talking to the 12, well, they're 100% right.
Yes, sir.
He was there, but just a little bit further down, he tells us that he's talking to us, right?
That's right.
So, and that's pretty clear, isn't it?
That's right.
So he gives them power, and he says, freely I have given you this power, now freely give it away. Heal it. And did you know that if you'll freely give it away, I have proven beyond a shadow of a doubt, even 10 to 15,000 CDs and DVDs a week, giving them away and not asking for money, God always pays our bills. We never have to worry about having money to pay people that work for us. We've never been short, have we?
No, thank
you. We always got money. We've got the money we need. Now, do we have millions of dollars? Not yet. But that could be. Maybe not too distant future. What can he do exceedingly abundantly above all you can think or imagine? There's no telling what he can do. So believe. Lord, I want to thank you that you're sending us resources to do great things for your kingdom. In fact, Cheryl's got bigger dreams in talking about what she said, you see that piece of land right over here on across from here, between here and Fault Road? I said, yeah. She said, we're going to buy that piece of land. I said, what are we going to do with it? She said, we're going to build a great big church right out there.
Amen.
Wow. That, wouldn't that be something if God told us? Yeah, he says, God already told her. Told her, said, you're going to buy that land and you're going to build a great big church. And so, okay, if he gives us that piece of land, and can he do that? Oh, my goodness. Yeah, I mean, after what I've seen God do, he could send somebody in here Monday morning. They walk in there and say, Mr. Scrivener, we want to give you this piece of land over here. And we would like to see you build a church. We have a few million left over from a job we had. We'd like to give it to you also to build the building. Now, wouldn't that be awesome? Is he able to do that?
Yes.
How much power and authority does he have, Miss Jackie?
Oh.
We don't have to sweat nothing, do we?
No.
Our boss has all power and all authority, and he knows how it all works. Right. Isn't that something? Wow, don't you love serving Jesus?
Yes.
Lord, I thank you for all you do. You are such a mighty God. You are the King of kings and Lord of lords and God of gods. I thank you for everything you're doing and what you're going to do with this ministry and the people that you send here, how you're going to teach them to heal the sick, cast out demons, to get prayers answered that's beyond their wildest dreams. Nothing is impossible with sons and daughters of the Most High God. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.